Matt and White Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are making their way through life, trying to figure it out as they go along, handling things like life, love, anonymous messages on the internet. not so anonymous messages on the internet.
Yeah, people are they're not even coming up with fake screen names or burner accounts anymore.
Well, I would rather that. I think I'm a strong believer that honestly there should be no anonymity on the internet. Everyone should have your full name on there, because I know there's all this, you know, I understand the arguments towards it, but I think that trolling and the evilness of anonymous accounts outweighs any possible security concerns for having your full name out there.
Sure. Yeah.
I say that as the most protected class in America as a straight white man in his late 40s. So I understand why maybe somebody wouldn't want to have their full name on there. But I mean, it is just, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Matt's feeling a certain type of way. We're both co-directors of the Limestone Comedy Festival, and we announced the features field, a very competitive process. Had over 500 submissions, a lot of great clips, a lot of great comics made it in. Shout out to the panel that we used to judge these clips, by the way. You know, a lot of great people made it in, and a lot of great people did not make it in. And unfortunately, that's just the way festivals go every year. And every year, people are vocal and mad about it and direct and... even in public forums, they still go on public forums and without even knowing the process of the selection committee or like anything that goes into it. I feel like as soon as you sent out the letter, without even looking, people just reacted without knowing what the lineup was.
I think in some cases, yes. And then some cases they looked at the lineup and then got mad because they think that comedy is a one-to-one comparison or like a sport of some sort. And because in their particular scene, or they have maybe more credits than someone who got in, you know, yeah, the whole thing is always frustrating. I mean, it sucks. We're both comics. Like, nobody likes sending out those emails. Like, yeah. You know, there's it sucks. And as you said, there are a lot of very great comics and well-deserving comics who don't get in just because of the numbers of it. You know, we could take, I think it's like less than 8%. It's like 7-point-something% that we can take for the number of submissions we have versus the number of spots we have. And it's just always mind-blowing to me. Like, a friend of mine summed it up perfectly, which was, yeah, I don't get into things and I don't post about it. And that way nobody knows I submitted for that thing and didn't get in. You're just putting it out there.
Yeah.
That you were rejected. If you just have your feelings and keep them to yourself, then no one would know that somebody somewhere in the world said no to you, you know?
Right. It does suck. It does suck. I remember my second time submitting, I think it was like year three or four, I got the denial letter for this festival, and it broke my heart. It sucks. It does hurt to get that rejection letter, but I didn't go on a public forum and blast, you know, the entire process, the festival. I went to New Orleans. I got a voodoo doll made of Matt. I took his picture and I stuck pins in it and all the naughty parts. That's why he walks with a limp now.
Also why I've never been able to have children. Thank you, Dwight. In a weird, honestly, thank you. Thank you, really.
Yeah, it's very counterintuitive. And we talk about it a lot on this podcast, not just in the term of festivals, but just being a person with common sense. How does this help you? How does this help you? Vincing and, for lack of a better term, bitching about a process you don't know anything about. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing too, that's also frustrating on our end, because they don't understand like how much care and time that goes into it. I mean, they think that like we're literally just throwing darts at a dartboard and whoever's name we hit gets in or what, you know, or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's like an enormous undertaking that takes months. you know, you know, and I'm working with the review panel, like sending them the clips, you know, and getting their scores back and tabulating all that stuff. And it's just like, you know, and we are so, the thing that I love most is, it's one thing if you're just salty, you didn't get in, you know, whatever, that's fine. Again, you should have that and keep it to your private, you know, comedian group text thread, you know, that you have, so your support group. But when people like make accusations, like we had over the years, I'll just say over the years, we've had accusations that we don't have enough, you know, women in the festival. We're the first that I know of festival that just decided we're going to have half and half.
Yeah.
The field is always going to be 20, depending on, sometimes they have 44 comics. It depends on the venues and all that kind of shit. But we have between 40 and 44 comics every year. This year we have 42. But it's always like, it's always going to be half. Half the population is women. Half the comics who get in are going to be women.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're also very, you know, I mean, I don't like, it's just, you can't make people happy. You know, we're like the most progressive, like diversity oriented festival that isn't a specifically like, you know, I use this in a good way because it's a good festival run by somebody who's really great. But like Black Girls Giggle Comedy Festival in New Orleans is specifically for uplifting Black female voices, right? In comedy. We are a general festival, right? But yeah, it's wild. Like we get, we've been accused of ageism. We've been accused of not having enough of a certain race of people in the festival. It's just always, and it's just like, if you just actually bother to look, like we actually do have all this representation in here, but you know.
That's why, like, I can't continue to give it too much credence. Like I said before, they just take it personally.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I mean, it's comedy. You're like, I take shit personally all the time. But to the point where you don't even like scroll through who got in. This is, I'm talking about very reactionary. I'm the best comic in the world. Therefore, I should get every opportunity type of posts. It's very baffling to me, and honestly I hate that we give it so much time, because there were so many good clips. Like the amount of talent that didn't get into the festival is outrageous. I think we have a fantastic field, and I think it's more important to, you know, kind of highlight people's successes than to give a voice to people that just want to shit on everything because life doesn't work the way they want it to.
Yeah, I think that you definitely touched on something. There were a couple in the last few years where you just know within the time frame of like how quickly they replied to the email, we hadn't even posted the lineup yet.
Yeah.
And so they are coming from that place of like, well, if you didn't have me in the festival, then you must be against my entire group of whatever my identity is, right?
Yeah.
We've had a couple of those, which again, just take a second, like see who we actually announce. And there's also the thing too, where, you know, it's a long process, you know? And what I mean by that, there are people who got in this year who were alternates for a couple of years running, who were always like, you know, again, it just comes down to the thing of like, they could have gotten in on any of those years, but when we're making the overall lineup and trying to figure out what feels right, what combination of comics feels right, you know? And then they got in this year because we do keep records of that stuff. We keep, like, they've sent a clip every year. They've gotten, but you know, those clips have gotten stronger and stronger, or they've been consistently strong and we haven't been able to fit them in. We're going to get them in this year. Now, what will take someone out of that list is if you are posting shitty things.
Yeah.
Because why would we invite someone who's emotionally immature? I mean, we're going to have to, they're comedians, but I mean, why would we invite you know, someone who's aggressively being an asshole about us to the festival, you know, like the next year?
Yeah.
Like you're just shooting yourself in the foot. And again, I think it comes back to, I'd like to think that you're right, that if people understood the process, they would be less reactionary, but we both know that's not true.
Yeah. Not for everyone. I mean, you're not going to speak rationally to someone who believes they are God's gift to comedy.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing is like, you know, you post publicly and then you're like, fuck Indiana anyway. It's like, I don't know. It's like a dude that catcalls.
It's exactly what it is.
They don't get the attention. And they're like, well, fuck you then, bitch.
Yeah, that's
I didn't
that's
want you anyway.
That's exactly okay. That's exactly the reaction of it.
It seems like you did.
Yeah. my favorite, and again, I do want to circle back around to like celebrate people who acted like this in goddamn sense. Like, we did get some emails back from people that weren't in, you know, they got the email that's like, hey, I'm sorry you weren't able to get in this year. You know, this is the, you know, we talk about it. We talk about like how competitive it is and all that kind of stuff. And people have written back like, all right, I'll try again. Thanks for letting me know. You know, hope you have a great festival. Even if that is just bullshit that they're faking, it's like, that's how adults in the real world react to this sort of thing. You know,
the job is a faking shit sometimes, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. And so, and you know, and I'll use a personal example. You know, I just got back from doing Alaska Before You Die. I submitted the first year to Alaska Before You Die. The first year was a festival and I didn't get in. And I also did not go online and post a bunch of shit about this festival, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, all right, I'll try
New Orleans. You got a voodoo doll of a polar bear.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He said one last less for Alaska.
Yep. So, but I mean, we have had people that, again, replied back graciously and were cool about it and everything.
I will say that you type out a very caring no email. Like, it's not, I've gotten a rejection from a specific festival, which I'm not going to name. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure if it's around anymore, but they were like, it was like two sentences. Whoops, sorry, you didn't get in. Try making people laugh harder next year.
It's like, did it say that? Did it actually
say
something
like
that?
I'm paraphrasing, but it's not like, I remember people actually posting about how shitty the rejection letter was.
Well, I mean, I remember also back in the day of, and I'll say this because they're not around anymore, and I also thought it was shitty. Bridgetown did not send out rejection emails.
Yeah.
Like, they would let you know if you got in, and then so you're just checking your inbox constantly. Ooh. You're like, oh, are they announcing it in waves? You know, and it's like,
must be in my spam folder.
Yeah. And when we started Limestone, like, that was one of the main things. I was like, we are going to, if you took the time to submit, we can take the time to send you an email letting you know whether or not you got in or if you got on the alternate list, you know? And so, yeah, man, a rejection email that says, be funnier next time. What the fuck?
That shit's funny to me now, but that,
so
I was
did you
like,
just
God,
get a, did you get a snow globe like of the entire city and just put pins in it until that festival disappeared? Also, like, you talked
the
about
voodoo
this
works.
We started recording. You said you wanted to do the Jackie and Lori thing where we type to each other. So can you just type the name of the festival to me? I won't throw you under the, this is for the Patreon people. Yeah.
It's for the Patreon. I'll figure it out.
Okay. There's a little chat window at the bottom. You should be able to. Okay. Now be careful when we post this to YouTube. I don't think the chats will also post, but little Easter egg. Speaking of which,
it's in the notes. If you read the notes.
Yeah, it's in the show notes buried. That would be actually a great way to get people to actually, oh, okay. Oh, I think I do remember that. Yeah, I think I've also gotten one of those rejection emails from them too.
It was so shitty.
They also caught some heat for some other things too. That festival had some
diversity issues.
Well, like, I wasn't going to say that, but I mean, I was like, I think that's one of the things they did catch heat for, but I was going to say they had a... they needed like a PR person. Like, they just didn't realize like correct in the way that you should email people back. And then, they had a couple other things come up over the years too.
Yeah. There, I mean, I understand being mad about there not being enough representation, but you know, you should at least do a little bit of research and don't shoot yourself in the foot with people that are actively trying to make the comedy scene better as a whole.
Well, and you know, we can, I mean, first of all, this is the first episode we've just jumped right into it. We didn't talk about
hot.
I was just gonna make like a little reference to it. You were like, let's do it, let's uncork it. But I was going to tell you about how I went to yoga today for the first time ever, but you didn't care about that. You're just like, let's get to this beef.
You were glowing. I thought it was just lying. I thought it was just rage.
I went to early morning. He thought it was rage.
Yeah.
No, I was like, it's my peace, man. It's my peace that I have gotten. So sidebar, I went to yoga for the very first time this morning. I went to a super early morning yoga class and I think I'm into it. Okay. People who listen to the podcast regularly know that when I was in Alaska, I kind of tweaked my back a little bit. I think I talked about that, like on the glacier. And so it was just kind of like, and I've had recurring issues. Like, I need to work on my flexibility and core strength. So I went to yoga and it was nice. And here's my one funny thing I'm going to say about yoga is at the end of it, I thought it was so dope because the woman was like, you know, I recently discovered that in the actual practice of yoga in India, they don't say namaste at the end of the yoga practice because it's not what you use that for. That's more like a very revered greeting for loved ones and for people of a certain honorific level. So she's like, I'm not going to do that anymore. But I do want to leave it. And then she hit us with like something that sounded like Grateful Dead lyrics. I was like, honestly, let's do the cultural appropriation. I'd rather have the inaccurate.
Oh no. Oh like, man.
Can we just go back to the, yeah,
I don't know how I feel about that. Like everybody was cool with the namaste, right?
I don't know. I don't know if there was a petition about it or whatever, but okay. Yeah, like and she said she was trying some stuff out. We'll see if the next one maybe it's some T-Swift lyrics or something or like.
Now, are you super sore right now?
I'm not. Maybe tomorrow I might be. I feel pretty good.
You got you'll get the DOMS.
I get the DOMS, yeah.
You know the DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness?
Yeah. I just thought you meant like I'll just have a scowl on my face like Dom from the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Yeah, you got the DOMS.
That's when you got the DOMS. you love your family so much that you cannot smile.
That guy does not namaste. He namastes too much. This is all about family.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my little aside. Okay. Getting back into, I think that we were, I don't know why I wanted to put the brakes on it real quick. I did realize this is literally the first time we've ever just been like, no bullshit about hip hop. Although I haven't listened to some really cool mashup hip hop things on YouTube. I'll send you links later. But anyway, there's all these albums. Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, everybody thought, finally, we're going to get nothing to comedy shit. I'm literally putting a halftime into our comedy conversation of random bullshit. But I've also talked to you today. There's some really dope, and this is for anybody who's into it. There's some really dope mashups of Yasiin Bey. Most people know him as Mos Def, but Yasiin Bey over Marvin Gaye albums.
Yep.
And it's real, real good. That's my recommendation for anyone who didn't get into Limestone and needs to chill out. There you go.
Oh, man. Yeah. And if you need some fire, my favorite rapper ever is Black Thought. And L. Michael's Affair. It is absolutely wonderful. I'm blown away by how much this man puts out. Like, and it's just bars. And it's just like, it feels like every week he's got a new 4 songs. It's insane.
He's a true MC, and I'm glad you said bars too, because he really, I always think of a Chuck D line where he says no hook lines and no choruses.
Yeah.
And that's like the heart of hip hop, which it's gotten so far away from that. And you know, now it's like, it's all hook lines and all choruses, you know, but like Black Thought's holding it down and just doing straight bars is still the most amazing thing. But let's jump back into a very serious topic that you glanced up upon and that I think is worth talking about with festival stuff. Is we talked about, you know, we like to think that we do the best job we can with representation. When we got a couple of these posts and emails and stuff, I was like, okay, this is a moment to really reflect and take a look on it. Don't be defensive, right? That's right. So easy to be defensive and be like, we're super progressive and we do the right thing. It's like, all right, let's take a look and see if we can be doing more. This, and I don't know, this is probably going to piss off a bunch of white people right now, what I'm about to say, but I did break down a couple of statistics, right? The percentage of submissions that we got from a certain demographic versus the number who got in from that demographic, right? I'll just use black women, because that was one of the ones that were specifically kind of, we were called out on. Okay. We took 16%. We had 18 submissions from black women. Now, maybe we can get more. I don't know. There's something we can do with that to try to get it out there. Yeah. That's your department, Dwight. And honestly, I'm a little upset. This is a performance review.
I failed on outreach.
So we took 16% from those who submitted. You compare that to white women who submitted, we only took 9% got in. White men who submitted, 5% got in.
Yeah.
So this idea, like, we are trying to do our best. And, but there's also the reality of it too. It's like, you know, a majority of people who submit are straight white people.
Right.
And we do the best we can to balance that out and have diversity. But as we've always said since day one, you know, being a black lesbian in a wheelchair is not going to get you into the festival.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a hilarious black lesbian in a wheelchair, hell yeah, come on in. But, you know, that balancing it, we do take it seriously. But I did take this as a moment to, like, let's actually crunch the numbers and see. Maybe it just feels like we're being like, oh, we're doing the right thing. And then I crunched the numbers. I was like, I think we're doing the right thing. I think we're doing as much as we can do without cheating people from that larger group, you know, with, you know, like a white men who submitted in much larger numbers. We're not keeping anyone out from there who's just an amazingly funny comedian. You know, it's like, it's a balancing act.
It is, like, and I think it hurts because, you know, I have a specific eye, and you've never said it to me, but I'm sure it's obvious to you when we have meetings about, you know, the final, you know, final field of features. It's the first.
Yeah, you place are always like advocating for white women. We know that you like white women.
I do.
Dwight,
I say 5%.
Can we get more white women? Well, it's 9% for the white women. It was 5% for the white men. No,
we're up.
You've never explicitly said it, and we've never explicitly said it, but you have been advocating and making sure that we are getting enough African-American performers in the festival, right? Yeah. When it comes down to it. And I think that's something that is valid and honestly is a strength that you have, that you bring to the, you know.
But I'm not going to be like, the clip has to be good.
Yeah.
Like, it has to, we have to send good clips. And, you know, I agree that 18 is just too low of a number to have
for overall submissions.
Yeah, for overall submissions to have that many good clips out of, you know, 500 plus. Most people that submit are white men.
Yeah, over half. Yeah. Almost half. Not over half, but almost half are white men.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it is an important thing that we keep our eye on. But again, we can only kind of bend it so much without sacrificing the quality of the festival.
Yeah.
And without, you know, the fairness aspect of it.
Fairness.
You know?
Also, like, here's another thing. No one gets in on credits. No one gets in off the strength of your career. You get in on the strength of your tape.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's judged by volunteer panel that are respected industry around the country. So it's not without care. And it's not something that we it's not something we look at and say, fuck that person, you know, even though we're doing that now. But it's only because you blasted us for no reason. Well,
I'm not even saying fuck that person, like that specific anyone who did send us a thing. We never got we've gotten way shittier messages. Like, I will say there was one that was in a public forum that I first interpreted kind of as more playful, like, all right, they're taking a shot or whatever, but who cares? Like, it didn't affect me as much as I think you and Jared also were like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, to me, it was just like, whatever. It's, you know, yeah, I think that there is this idea of it too, of, I lost my train of thought, shit. What were you talking about? You're talking about,
That's that voodoo
the
pin
panel,
in the,
sorry.
That's that voodoo pin in the brain, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I got it back. I have been up since 5 o'clock this morning when I went to yoga. So there's also that. My thought of it is also, it's not just that, you know, we're looking at it, trying to have a diverse input into it. And yes, the clip has to be good. The no credits thing is the panel only gets the person's name and the clip. That's it by design. And so that's a big part of it is, like, you may have done a bunch of shit, but if your clip that you sent this year isn't the best, isn't as strong, then that's going to work against you, you know. But also a thing is, you know, the makeup of the review panel this year, we had two women. We had someone, like, I don't want to say accused, but kind of accused us of not ever having representation of women over 40 in the festival. They emailed us. At least they emailed us. They didn't put it out there in public. And they asked the question somewhat forcibly, or forcefully, right?
Yeah.
And I sent them back the list of the women who got into the field this year who were over 40, which was an awkward thing. I had to text people that lived in those cities that know those comics and go, yo, do you think so-and-so is over 40?
Yeah.
This is why. Because we don't ask people's age, but I guess we'll have to start doing that on the interview thing, but on the application fee. And then also, of course, the women who from last year who were over 40 and even going back to the first year. And I just threw these examples. I was like, and I was very nice about it. I was just like, hey, you know, I understand your frustration, but the fact is we actually have had representation in this demographic of women over 40. The thing I forgot to put in that email is the two women on the panel this year are both over 40.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yo, it's not that. You had two women in your supposed demographic, you know, as far as just this gender age demographic, who also didn't push you through.
Yeah.
You know, and so it is just very frustrating. And I always try to approach it with love. Like, you know, anytime we have something like this, and if I'm going to be the one to reply to it, I would CC you and Jared on it. So everybody's on the same page. Hey, this concern was brought up. This is how I'm replying to it. Is this cool? And, you know, you saw the email. I just wrote back professionally. And I thought with a bit of love, like, I understand it's frustrating, but here's a bunch of facts, you know. So it's been a consuming thing for you and I since Friday when we announced. It's like been people also sending us like, hey, did you see this? And we're like, well, yeah, thanks circle of friends for letting us know when people are talking smack about us.
You know, several people sent me screenshots. It's like, yeah, I saw it. I have a you sent out the acceptance letters and I said, send me the hate mail jokingly, but not jokingly. And 10 seconds later, first email comes. God damn, that was quick. There's no way you could have saw.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a couple that were quick on the trigger to reply back and blast us. But
you had this in the drafts folder. You hit every festival you didn't get into. Yeah,
they just have it ready. They have it ready to go.
The auto reply.
Yeah.
The tape has to be good. Like festivals as a whole, it's a frustrating process. You know, we're speaking just on this festival. Every festival has their own way of doing things.
Yeah.
And it's a frustrating process. I mean, that's why I was devastated when I didn't get into, you know, a couple of festivals that I didn't get into, but you buckle down and try again next year. Or like the email says, just be funnier next year. Fucking assholes. But yeah, I feel like Matt, you've done a great job of handling with kids gloves, because dealing with comics is always going to be a volatile situation, especially when someone's accusing the work that goes in of not being the due diligence that it really is. That's just frustrating, but we can't make everyone happy. And I think the lineup speaks for itself.
Yeah, like, I'm very excited about it. Yeah.
So I know we're given a lot of venting, but that's nothing against the process. Like, we're just defending the process because I think it's one of the best in the festival industry. It just is. It's just there's checks and balances, and it's not like spin the wheel or this comic did late night or this comic is about to get JFL. It's really what the website says, the 400 word, please read this before you submit, is actually what it is, which also no one reads.
There's no one reads. They skip right down to it. And then, I mean, I'm proud of it. And again, I know this is brand new territory for a podcast where two men get on here and vent about something in their lives. So I know that we're kind of breaking new ground here with this. But
our listenership just went down from 14%.
Oh, man. So anyway, I told you before, we don't have a question of the week. I didn't get one sent into the email. And so I feel like this might be, we'll consider this to be the question of the week. You know, there are people who listen to this podcast who are comedians who probably didn't get in. And again, I'm sorry if that's the case. Hopefully we've laid out our side of it in a way that, you know, if you were upset, maybe you get some clarity on it and understand that, you know, it's not a personal thing.
You should be upset. That means you care.
Right.
And you should direct it you know, you can direct it at us for a while, but like not publicly, or like feel free to like ask, what can I do better to get in next year? I like those productive conversations. It's like, there's nothing productive of just putting someone on blast for no reason.
Right. And I, you know, the thing is also that I think I only got one email where someone is like, hey, do you mind letting me know what I could do better? You know, and the thing is with that is the review panel is not required to make notes. They can. There's a thing on it where they are scoring that they can make notes. So I don't always have that information for somebody, you know, and this person I did, I wrote back and I was like, it was actually a very positive exchange. And and I said, you know, looking at the notes, it seemed like a couple of the judges felt like you were pretty green. And, you know, maybe not quite ready for the festival yet. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's the sense that they had from your clip. And that person replied back and go, yeah, I've only been doing it a year. And it's like, perfect. Thank you. You've only been doing it a year. And maybe that's, they're just not bitter enough yet to be firing off public missives about it. But...
oh man.
Yeah. And so it's a hell of a thing, and it's definitely one of those things that makes me question doing the festival every year. But you know, I think there's a lot of positive to it, and a lot of general good for comedy that it provides. And so we'll keep doing it. We'll keep being your martyrs, everybody.
Yeah, we'll keep at it.
Yeah, you be mad at us, it's fine.
So just real quick, anything besides get a great clip, be a good person, and read the instructions for festival advice, generally, not just Limestone, if you're submitting to festivals, because I know a lot of festival, like, people are getting their tapes together, so maybe advice on that again. I know we touch on it a little
bit. We touch on it quite a bit, but I think it's worth repeating in case people are just jumping around. I think that, well, I mean, to go back to what we just talked about, I think the way that you conduct yourself through the entire process is also equally important. And there's also a thing too, you know, and I talked about it last episode when I saw two comics at the festival I was at act very disrespectfully to the festival and to all the other comics on the shows. Keep that in mind too. The way you act the year round, if you're a shithead or a diva or anything like that, comedy's small. We all talk. And so if it does come down, if you have a strong clip, but we've heard a couple of people like, yo, they're kind of an asshole, then we've already talked about how tough it is to get into our festival. And really any festival at this point is pretty competitive. I think even smaller festivals get at least like 200 to 300 submissions. That can be the difference, you know? So try to act right year round, you know. And again, it comes back to, I know I've said this before on here, but I think it's such a great thing that Cam O'Connor came up with, which was like, be nice, be funny, be on time.
Yeah.
You know, that general mindset of the way you conduct yourself, even at open mics, it goes a long way, you know? And so I think get a good tape, be a nice person, you know, and take your losses in a way that shows that you deserve a win.
I like that.
So, you know, it's been a few episodes since I've quoted him, but like the great brother Ali says in one of his songs, like, never let your chin and your chest touch in public. Right.
Yeah.
Keep that shit. Yeah. It hurts. It sucks. We've been through it, you know, but keep that private or just to your closest friends, but publicly just, you know, keep it moving.
Go on
to the next thing. And the energy that you're putting into talking shit about a festival or a show or whatever that you didn't get is energy you can be putting into getting something else.
Right.
Or getting that perfect tape, you know? So that's my general rules of thumb. And then also, you know, to go back to the thing of take your losses in a way that sets you up for a win is, if you don't get into something, you know, again, A, don't post publicly shitty things or email them back fuck you emails. But also, like, you know, just know that not getting into a festival doesn't mean you're excluded from it forever.
Right.
You know, we have an alternates list. There's even more comics that could go on the alternates list, but we feasibly can't have like an infinite alternate list, you know? So I think there's like, I think there's like 16 on the list this year.
Yeah.
And these are people that it came down to like the hardest of calls of who's going to get in, who's not going to get in. And then that comes more about looking at the overall tapestry of the festival, not just about the diversity things that we talked about earlier, but also styles. You know, oh, we don't have like this type of comic. We don't have this super dry one-liner that's going to give that person that edge, right?
Right.
To come in. But then that means somebody who they took that spot, we got them on the alternate list. Like I said, there's a lot of people that have been alternates for a year or two and then they get in. And then there's people who never even got to the alternate list, but they track, you know, like, oh, every year their submissions get better and better. And there is a thing that happens with most comics, which is there is a magic year where they just, everything starts to work. And I always think about it, like, if you think about, like, they used to do these, this is such an old timey thing, and hopefully people can understand this visual, but there used to be this play toy thing, like, that you would have, you would see in a doctor's office for kids and dentist's office for kids and stuff like that, but it was a pegboard that you could put different, like, gears into, and then you could turn a crank, and you, the idea is you put, you line up these gears so that they all interwork and turn when you turn the crank, right? But if you have them too far apart on the pegboard, they're not touching, it doesn't work, right? It's to teach kids like spatial mechanics essentially. And so with so many comics, you can see in their clip they've got the different gears, they've got the material, and but the maybe the performance isn't quite there, or the material is pretty much there, but it's a little, you know, but then there's this moment that most comics have where all the gears come into contact and touch each other and everything is working now.
Yeah.
Everything from the material, delivery, performance, their personality on stage, it all just clicks. You never know when you're going to have one of those. If you have one of those years and you submitted a couple times before, again, we try to honor that. We try to take note of people who have been taking the time to submit to the festival that clearly won it. If you submit once, don't get in and never submit again, or you don't submit for 5 or 6 years again, you might have reasons for that. You don't get a good enough tape or whatever. It's less, you're less likely. That's just one more point in your favor.
If
you submitted a couple years in a row and you've gotten better. And I know that sounds like I'm just trying to get people to keep submitting every year, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to advertise for submissions.
Yeah.
Like it used to be the thing where we would put it out in every single Facebook comedy group, you know, the first 2 years, because we're just trying to get the name out there. I now, there's one main Facebook festivals and competitions group for comedians.
Right.
I post it the day it opens.
Yeah.
And then I think the day, like the a week before the price goes up, I post the price is going up. I might not even do that. I think I might just put it on the first day now.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying that just to get people to send us their $25 every year. I do truly mean it, that if you are progressing and getting better, it doesn't hurt to keep sending us submissions. Because that does get logged in a way.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed with everything you said, man. I think about it as a like goal setting throughout the entire process. Like, are you, what is the point of you submitting to a festival? Like, what is the goal of that? Is it to get a credit? Is it to network? Is it to, you know, prove something to yourself? What is the actual goal of that? And then, you know, the goal of getting a good clip, like we've said, it can be a long process. You got to tape every show until you find that clip that you feel comfortable submitting and paying your $25 for, or whatever the submission fee is.
Yeah.
And then the waiting process. So what's the goal again if I get in, and what's next if I don't get in? What did I lose? I lost $25 and... but now maybe I have a really good clip that I'm confident about, and that I can build upon and send to people that book shows. You know, a lot of people think that you don't get into something or you don't get the work when you think you deserve it, that it's the end, and it's just not. Like, there's so many other ways that you can go about it. Like, something that we talk about, and a lot of local comics do this, local to the region of Bloomington, they'll just come and hang out and talk to comics from other scenes. It's the best fucking place to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best place to see comics from all over the country do their best 10 minutes in front of a hot room. It's the year I didn't get in, I came and was just as inspired as I was like if I the year I did get in. It's just, it's nice to be surrounded by immense talent that opens your eyes to what the rest of the country has to offer. So like, set that goal, set that goal next year to get in this festival. If it's something that you think is worthwhile to do, don't just do it just to do it. Don't do it because you think you deserve it or because you're bigger than the festival, because you're only going to set yourself up for heartbreak.
Yeah. And I think also a thing that you touched on there too, of like the hanging out, I'm always impressed when we have comics who volunteer. We use a lot of comics for volunteer spots in Limestone because they're comics. They know how a show is supposed to run. They can help us out with minimal instruction or oversight usually. And, you know, we had a couple of comics from Indy the last couple of years who came down to volunteer, and they were newer comics who were hungry. And they, same thing, they saw the value in just being around it. I don't think either one of those comics has ever submitted either. Yeah. I don't think. And so they were just young comics who got it, and we have local comics here who do submit and don't get in. And you know, we always hit them back. We're like, you know, if you want to volunteer, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna take care of you, we'll refund your submission fee, blah blah blah. That I should say, that part is just for Bloomington comics. That's not a standard. That's not open to everyone.
It's going on a Reddit message board.
Yeah. Because we, you know, we want to encourage our local new comics. Like, you know, they also need to understand, like, again, the same thing we've always said. It's like, you know, like there is a little bit of a weight or like a path to this. And, you know, we can only have so many local comics in it as well. I always think it's interesting. There's, you know, we have two tiers of comics that aren't headliners. Have like MCs, and then we also have the features field, which is from the submissions. And you know, we always pretty much as a rule of thumb have had at least two locals in the features field, and we're lucky that we can do that because Bloomington has a very strong comedy scene. It's never been hard to do that and justify it. We still make their videos go through the review process.
Yeah.
And the review panel, there's not a panel member in Bloomington.
Right.
You know, our panel members are from the coasts and from other areas of the country. And so we still like run them through.
Yeah.
Locals still get scored just like everybody else. But it, score wise, they've always measured up to where we can have two. I think certain years we've had three as well. But I think that's important too, because there are festivals where the locals are kind of kept at a host level. And that to me, obviously, is a decision. Every festival is different. I don't think every festival should be Limestone. I think every festival should have its own personality and the way that they do it. That's what makes them interesting. But I think you give local scene something more to shoot for. If you have locals that you think are strong enough to be in the feature field, at least a couple of them,
right.
I think it's an investment, you know? And so I don't know if anyone who listens to this runs a festival or not, but occasionally I do see that where they're just kind of treating the locals as like, oh, you guys are just MCs. Well, that's right. Not giving them a lot of inspiration to step up and be as good as they can.
Right.
You know,
agreed, man.
Yeah.
Agreed. That is our Limestone portion.
that was the great question of the week.
That was the question of the week, is how do these two men handle their rage? Matt has bought a 30 pack of yoga classes, and he will be doing that throughout the fest season. Mm-hmm. And I have voodoo dolls. I still have them. Yeah. You buy them in bulk. You can customize them, baby.
There you go.
Just be cool, man. Just be cool, y'all. Is it so goddamn hard to just be cool? Can't you just be happy for other people? I guess not. Like, say congratulations.
That's another thing that we didn't even touch on. It's like, yeah, the couple of people who clapped back publicly, I had comics who then privately reached out to me and go, I know this person very well. And they did not congratulate me when I posted I got in.
Yep.
What they chose to do instead was to complain about how they did not get in. So yeah, be happy for your friends if they get something that you don't get, you know?
Yeah. I saw people that submitted that didn't get in, and they publicly like shouted out their scene.
Yes. Yeah.
Be happy that you have, you know, friends that are doing cool shit, and you never know how close you were.
Yeah.
But you know how close you're not going to be by talking shit. This isn't a rap battle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, God, they, like, it's,
yeah, no one's ever complained their way into a festival.
Yeah.
At least not our festival. I should put it that way. I don't know about other festivals, but no one's ever complained their way into it. So.
Oh, man.
So let's jump into our recaps of where we've been and what we got coming up here in the last man. This has gone quick. We've spent a lot of time on this, but hopefully that's it's good. Been good and interesting for people. And hopefully this is not the podcast for the next 6 weeks as we get up to Limestone as just Limestone gripes. But Dwight, where were you this weekend? What'd you do?
I was supposed to be. I got asked to do Huntsville, but I booked something that I cannot talk about. It's commercial, but okay. Yeah. And then, so that was all I did. So no shit. I am in a great new shit rhythm. Mm-hmm. Like the last couple of nights, I've been able to really dive in. The ideas are starting to flow a little bit. So I'm getting a little antsy. My next show isn't until next Wednesday, that is April 26th. So I may go and do some mics. I think I'm gonna go and jump on Keith Evans' Going Away Party show tomorrow, so I can speak in front of strangers out loud again. But yeah, I got some cool shows coming up next week. I'll just.
Sure, we're gonna go right into this part too. That's good.
Yeah, just give them up. If, as soon as I get my calendar up, I'm good at this. April 26th, I will be in Columbus, Ohio at the Funny Bone. That will be fun. And then April 27th, back in Indianapolis at the Middle Ground Comedy Festival. Speaking of festivals, mm-hmm. headlining the late show at Black Circle Brewing, middlegroundcomedy.com. And then I'm doing some really weird, fun stuff. The 28th, I am doing a tents party for a mortgage employee appreciation party, I guess.
You've been writing some jokes for all of those things for the tents and for the mortgages, and you've been writing specific material for this?
Sir, you should know that I have not. I have not been doing that. Are you supposed to do that? No. Any corporate just gets what they get. They saw my clip. They put me in their festival. So here I come.
Yeah.
And then April 29th, I don't even know why I'm telling you guys this outside. It's very funny to me. I'm doing an after prom in Marshall, Illinois. I got booked to do an after prom. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just really important to push yourself creatively and come up with new stuff. Also, the money was fantastic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really, really going to test the limits of what I'm capable of. Also, the money was wonderful.
Yeah.
I did the thing where this is popular in comedy, like corporate comedy, where you're like, say a number they're going to say no to.
Yeah.
I said it and they were like, sure, like very quickly.
Wow.
So I don't
put in the chat how much that number was.
I don't know what they expect. Like, I know I'm doing 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And I've kind of been able to map it out.
Did they give you restrictions? Obviously, you got to work clean because it's a high school prom thing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's a good number.
And it's so most of the weekend, I'll be hanging around the Middle Ground Comedy Festival because it's all weekend.
I really thought you were going to say most of we got to be hanging around teenagers in high schools. Just soaking it in.
The restraining order says I cannot, sir. I'm glad that's not true. But but all these like auxiliary shows are close enough that I can just zip back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like Columbus, Ohio is not far. Marshall, Illinois is under 2 hours. The mortgage thing is at 6 p.m. in Indianapolis. So I'll be hanging around the Middle Ground Comedy Festival and then going to do some other shows.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, man. Let's see. What did I do this week? So I drove back from the West Coast. And last time we talked, I was sitting outside of a Starbucks somewhere. I think I was in Colorado already at that point.
Yeah.
And
we didn't mention this because we jumped right in. Welcome back.
Oh, yes. I'm back.
The last few episodes, I think the last three episodes have been audio only because we couldn't risk the connection of Matt sitting in his car at a random place in the United States.
Yeah, I'm back. But
we get his face back, and the beard is coming back.
It is. The beard is coming back and makes you feel a little bit more comfortable. I know you did not like the beardless face of the one episode.
Camera off, Matt. Never again.
Let's see. So I was able to get on to New Talent Night at Comedy Works in Denver on Tuesday night of last week. And it was, you know, it's like a 5-minute set, but it was, that room is so hot. It's unbelievably hot. Big shout out to Lizzie Wolfson and Roger Hawk for putting me on there. Lizzie put in the call to Roger and he hooked me up. So appreciate that a lot. It was a hot one. It was good. And then the next night I closed out the Comedy Forts contest, and I had done the Comedy Fort on my way out west and closed out a Sam Talent and Friends show and had a great set. Love that show. This one, I would give myself like maybe a B. It was real up and down. My energy was real low. Like I definitely, you could tell I'd been on the road for 3.5 weeks, like trying to do 20 and following a contest where it's a bunch of people bringing their tightest, best stuff. And I was a little bit, I definitely had some big pops, and, you know, I worked on the bit about my mom as a closer, which went really well. But it just, it didn't feel as much of a home run, you know, it was like, it was okay. But then the next night, the last night of the tour was fantastic. It was at Black Apple Cider in Springdale, Arkansas.
Yes.
The homies, Stetson Banks and Steph Bright hooked me up with that. Closed out that show. Absolutely fantastic show.
They're so good. They're so good. They're great.
They're so good. And talk about awesome. And I said this from the stage too. I shouted them out for pushing diversity in comedy. On my show, we had a trans woman, an openly gay man, and then the host was like an autistic guy. I don't know if that counts in comedy.
Like that, said, I don't know if that counts.
This I don't know if that counts in the diversity aspect of it or whatever. All three of them are super funny, but you know, like
this is giving, like heavy lifting because this show is in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas.
Yeah, and here's the thing: is like, yeah, it's in a small town in Arkansas, and to bring that in, you know, as well as they've, you know, they've had you in, and they've had, you know, they're just, they could have a bunch of dudes up there just doing bad John Reap impressions, and perfectly get away with it and be fine, but they understand the importance of having voices in comedy that maybe aren't as often heard. And so it was an honor really to be like on that show, and it was good. It smashed it. It was great. So that's what I did, and then came home and slept a lot and just jumped right into Limestone stuff. I actually
welcome home, baby.
Thank you. I have shows like the next 2 weeks, and then after that almost all of my May is wide open because I really am just doing Limestone prep. But coming up this week, on Thursday of this week, on April 20th, I'll be hosting Don't Tell Comedy here in Bloomington. We got a really great secret headliner who is on tour all the way across the country coming in from LA. So hopefully people check that out.
Who is it?
I'm not going to tell you.
Damn it.
Almost had him. Then April 21st and 22nd, I'll be at Wiley's Comedy Joint in Dayton, Ohio, which you were just at.
Yes.
Always love going there. And then on April 23rd, the Sunday, I am hosting the final High Proof Laughs comedy show at Cardinal Spirits. Our boy John Handcuff is coming out of retirement to headline that one.
Handcuff.
Partial retirement. He goes on hiatus. He goes on sabbaticals sometimes from comedy. Yeah. But he's coming out to headline that one, so that one should be good. And then I've got some stuff in May, but not much, and I can always talk about that on a future episode of the podcast.
Love to hear it, man. That is so we had a lot of highlights from you on the road. And how long was your drive home?
So it was from Seattle to Indiana, I think it was something, if I'm not wrong, it was like 2,500 miles or something like that.
That's absurd. You had a great Facebook post. You were just, I don't know if you slept before you posted it, but it was very sincere and road weary. And I was like, man, my man's tired. Good for him.
So I just pulled up the route, 2,466 miles. That's not counting like the around in Denver to Fort Collins kind of driving I did. So realistically pretty close. So yeah, this whole trip I did about 5,000 miles in my car. I don't do those really sentimental posts a lot on social media. particularly more and more, I've just been trying to get like detached from social media, you know, like yeah. I'll post the promo stuff I needed to post on there, but that's about all I'm going to do. And that way I can just kind of knock it out and then not have to think about it and not be on there doom scrolling or yeah. getting my like FOMO or whatever, imposter syndrome going. But I am very thankful for this run. And, you know, as I said on previous, episodes, you know, like the Tacoma shows were incredibly good, mm-hmm. For me. You know, I did these two really cool festivals, the first time around at the Fort Collins, you know, the Comedy Fort was great. I had a really good run, and I'm lucky that I get to do it, you know? And so I am very appreciative of all those people. And, that's how, you know, I was tired, as I got sentimental.
I was happy for you, man. That's a lot of traveling, and especially like, I don't think people realize how difficult it is to be on the road for, you know, anything over a week. But I think when you have fantastic shows, which you're really good at curating for yourself, like, you know which rooms to hit. You also do the masochism thing every once in a while where you're like, let me also go check out this open mic after this wonderful show. But
yeah,
I think if you're planning a long trip like this, just have those anchor shows that are for you and that pay decently, so you're mm-hmm. not always stressed out, worried about money, and then just pissed because you got paid poorly for a terrible show. Like, man,
yeah,
Denver yeah. and Fort Collins, you cannot miss.
No, Colorado in general, they just have, and we've said it over and over again on this podcast, they have their shit worked out, man. Shows pay. Yep. And it's a big deal when you're running through. Yeah, I would say also, you know, be more realistic. I should have been more realistic about my scheduling on the run back.
Yeah.
Not taking, it's like, you know, like, oh, you know, like my drive from Fort Collins to Springdale, Arkansas was something like 13 hours. And so I had to leave immediately after the Fort Collins show and drive. I think I drove like 3.5 or 4, slept in the parking lot of a truck stop for a little bit, got mm-hmm. up, finished the drive, you know, and then you still have to perform afterwards. So, yep. you know, sometimes you make those decisions based on like, well, here's two paying gigs that are, you know, because again, you can't always, you know, fill in every single day. So sometimes you have to do that shit to kind of get yeah. to where you need connect. To go to get make the money and connect it. But I was definitely on that drive. I was like, I was not taking into consideration that I have already been out for 3.5 weeks before doing this drive.
Yeah.
You know, like 13-hour drive. Yeah. If I plan for it correctly, I can knock that out, still perform, be good, you know. But like yeah. after the end of a lot of long drives, it was just like, oh, I'm feeling this one big time. So yeah, for sure. So just be safe about it, you know, and be smart the way that you plan your routing. But also, we're so lucky, you know, if anyone's listening and, you know, you're not there yet, you get to this level. Yeah, you can still gripe and complain about things. You can still complain about the festivals you don't get into, you know, personally, just yeah. to your friends or spouse or whatever. But also never forget, like, we're incredibly lucky to get to do this, you know. So yeah. I'm going to end on a note of gratitude because this is yoga, Matt. This is who I am now.
He's back. Namaste, baby. Closes out, Matt.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you would like to send us a question for us to tackle on a future episode of the podcast, please don't let it be, why didn't I not get into limestone? Let it be something non-limestone related. That would be great. You can email us at mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. Shoot us any questions you have there. We'll answer them on a future episode of the podcast. If you don't have any questions and you like the podcast, tell a friend, tell someone that, you know, you're into this, like that smash and subscribe button. I want to end on a shout out to, I'm so tired from Behind the Bits. Scott Curtis from Behind the Bits is going on a sabbatical of his own, a hiatus from that podcast, because it's a lot of work to do a podcast. He's yeah. announced that he's taking a lengthy break. I just want to say that I appreciate Scott and all the work that he's done, because that podcast is a treasure trove of comedy information. He may not be producing new episodes anytime soon, but if you've not checked it out, there's a very healthy back catalog. You can work your way back through. I did it on this trip. I went back and just found friends of mine who were on it that I hadn't listened to yet. Like I loved the Stephen Rogers one. That episode I thought was great, which was from like 5 months ago or something. So have a well-deserved rest, Scott, if you do Cheers, Scott. This and hear it. And we look forward to having you come back when you're ready to keep doing the good work.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. If you're going to talk shit on the internet, get a burner account.